Did you know that the 4th of July is on a Thursday this year? That's going to be a full weekend of fun out on the deck, 4 days. But if your deck isn't what it used to be and you aren't using it for great family gatherings, you need to call my friends at All Weather Decks. All Weather Decks is a 24-time winner of the Angie Super Service Award. And they probably help one of your neighbors. Click on the map link at allweatherdecks.net. Call All Weather Decks today at 913-206-1974 or go to allweatherdecks.net and mention you heard it on 810. Call now and relax.
Sports Radio 810 WHB, the Interurban Lofts proudly present The Border Patrol with Stephen St. John and Nate Buchanan.
Good morning, my neighbors!
It's showtime!
The first baseman, number 35, Eric Hosmer.
Eric Hosmer getting a wonderful ovation from the Royal faithful. They remember him well. He was a big part of the Royal success.
Swing and a liner into right field, a base hit. Nicky Lopez flying around third. Here he comes home. Slides in head first ahead of the throw. And the Royals take a 3-2 lead on an opposite field RBI single off the bat of Salvador Perez.
2-2. Swing and a ground ball. Base hit left field. Nicky Lopez scores. Melendez stumbles around second and has to hurry back. And the Royals take the lead 4-3. And they have two on with nobody out. Well, Salvador Perez will come up.
Salvi with a blast down the left field line. And that ball hits.
Go, Salvi, go!
He's already jogging around as the third base umpire said it hit the foul pole. Home run, and the Royals have busted it open.
Scott Barlow coming out of the bullpen for the 46th time this year. Ground ball short. This should do it. One and done.
Hey, way to go, Scotty boy.
Good morning, Kansas City. This is the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. It's Friday, August 5th, 2022. Stephen St. John and Nate Buchanan with Marco Marquez. I'm still in St. Joseph, Missouri. It's Stony Creek Hotel and Conference Center. Nate Buchanan and Marco Marquez back in Kansas City. I will not be attending practice today because there is no practice, but there was practice yesterday. It was a shorter practice, a 10-10-10 practice, and beautiful weather out there yesterday, but no practice today. So originally there was a scheduled practice when we picked out when I was going to come up here, and that's why this week was good because it was going to be practice every day. But then they adjusted the schedule. I'm not complaining, so no practice today. So I'll be here with you the entire show, and we've got a good one for you today on the show. We are going to talk to Stan Weber and get his thoughts on what's happening with Chiefs training camp. He'll be in at about 6:30. We'll get the forecast from Gary Lezak. Another camp that's going on is Mizzou football camp. And we're going to hear from Mizzou head football coach Eli Drinkwitz at 8:05. You remember last time on the show, I told him I wanted to have him on the show again real soon. And he said, how about Friday, August 5th? And I said, done, let's book it.
Yes.
And so I followed up with that yesterday, and he said 8:05 sounded good. So we'll have Coach Drinkwitz on at 8:05, and he will give us his camp update and how things are progressing for the Missouri Tigers. Then we will chat with former Royals catcher Mike McFarland about the deals that the Royals made before the trade deadline and how this team looks now after the trade deadline with some of the new faces and younger players in the lineup. And then we will talk to Tim Grunhard for the final hour of the show, all Chiefs, all football, and get his thoughts on some of the things that I've seen, and we'll play some sound for him and talk about the Kansas City Chiefs in the 9 o'clock hour. Nate, how you doing, man?
Oh, man, I'm doing wonderful. Blessed. Happy Friday.
Mm-hmm.
How you feeling?
That's good. Yeah. It was a process, man. It was a process. I laid down. So it had been a couple of days since I laid down in the bed.
Well, that's good. So there's progress.
Yeah. Right. Because I can't, you know, my back is, injury is such that I can't get up when I lay down, and it hurts really bad. And so I laid down and slept in the bed for maybe 4 hours. But then I got up, and, you know, I had about another hour to sleep, and I didn't want to get back in the bed because that was like a 10 or 15 minute process of getting out of the bed. And so I once again built my pillow fort around me on the couch, and I slept sitting up really well for, I don't know, the last 45 minutes or hour of my evening. And so that was good, but then I couldn't get off the couch. It's just like, you know, when this stupid back injury, when I'm getting going and moving around, like I'm at practice, or, you know, yesterday, getting, you know, moving around, it's starts to loosen up and I can get some things done. But if I sit too long or if I lay down, man, then I can't get back up, and it really, 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 really hurts. And so it was like I had sat too long, and I knew it was going to take a while. And once again, Sue was trying to help me stand up. So got that done and came over to do the show at my desk inside my room at Stony Creek Hotel and Conference Center, so I'm ready to roll. Little bit of pain. Okay, a lot of pain. So if I sound weird or if I wince or anything like that, just bear with me. But I'm here for you. It's all good to go, don't you know? And so, yeah, and I'm, look, honestly, I'd be more than happy to go out and cover practice today. But I'm not complaining that everyone's getting a day off, including all the hardworking members of your Kansas City Chiefs. We heard some highlights there from the Royals beating the Boston Red Sox, and that's never a bad thing. They beat them last night 7-3. And I thought it was really cool that the Royals had a little tribute video for Eric Hosmer, played for him before the game. He acknowledged the crowd and, you know, tipped his cap. And then when he walked to the plate, you heard they gave him another nice ovation. And Salvi, that was heartwarming to see. There's a picture out there that was tweeted out as he's walking to the plate, this big, gigantic smile on Salvi's face as Eric Hosmer walked to the plate. And it just, you know, it'd been a while since we, I guess, or at least I felt those emotions. And then I watched that video, that whoever did that great job of that tribute video to Eric Hosmer. It gave me chills. And, you know, I'm a Hos guy. You know, I love Hos. But you just, well, I don't forget, but I hope that reminds people of how many big moments he had with the Royals, how many big hits he had, and how many big plays he was involved in on that road to the World Series championship. I don't know, did either of you guys see that tribute video?
I did not see the video, no.
So well done. Isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Takes you back.
Yeah, it gave me chills. And I can only assume they tweeted it out, and I can only assume that's the one they played at Kauffman Stadium, because they said Hos was up on the top step of the dugout watching it. And then when it was over, they got a huge ovation, and he, you know, tipped his hat to the crowd. That's good, man. We're always going to have those memories, you know, of where we were and who we were with. And it sometimes it doesn't seem like it's been 7 years. Sometimes it seems like it's been 70. But, you know, especially just, you know, thinking about how old my boys were and having them with me for so many of those moments and having them, you know, I had my arm around each one of them on stage when they got the final out against the Mets and, you know, just having them there with me at the wild card game and all those different memories in that 2 year stretch. You know, and I know you had some similar experiences, Nate, but, you know, I look back at all the pictures that I have and just, it was awesome to take a nice walk down memory lane last night. And I'm glad that the Royals honored Eric Hosmer and just that moment when Salvi had that big smile on his face and gave Haas a hug. I loved it.
Yeah, I'm kind of watching. I can't hear the music, but I'm looking at the video right now. And
yeah, you got to hear what they say. It's really good.
Just watching the moment that you talked about with Salvi and Haas giving each other a hug last night.
Yeah.
It hit me in the feels like more than I guess I anticipated. And
that's right.
Thank you, my friend.
I guess it's just that, you know, Haas has been on the West Coast kind of out of sight, out of mind mostly. I mean, yeah, you kind of keep tabs on him.
Out of sight, maybe.
Yeah.
But not, never out of my mind.
I mean, for
that's
me, like,
creepy.
Yeah, the biggest reason I would say that he's not out of mind for me is because our boy Sal likes to remind us that he's not playing well anytime he could in San Francisco and, like, you know, text us his, but I don't watch a ton of Padres baseball. I'd see him every once in a while, but having him back and he and Salvi together just kind of hit me in the, like you said, that was a big emotion that I felt last night when I saw it was all of a sudden 2015 seems like a long time ago. It doesn't seem to me like it was that long ago that the Royals won the World Series. And I guess in the grand scheme of things, 7 years isn't that long, but it made it feel like, boy, that was a while ago now. And I just was like, because the team's been pretty bad here the last few years. And that team was so good. You know, like that team was so good and so fun to watch. And there were so many players on the team that were, that you just, you felt
well,
like.
Just in that little, that short them, video, you know? Just look at the big moments he came through.
Yeah. Yeah,
you know, and was such a big part of some of those gigantic moments during the 2014 and 2015 runs. And I also think it's, you know, like if you're an adult, like for me, you know, the difference between being 42 and 49, you know,
yeah.
So what?
Yeah.
Ah. I've gone downhill pretty.
I was gonna say your
quick.
Back might say something about the difference.
Yeah. No. Actually, that's the last time my back was really bad.
Really,
it was 6 or 7 years ago. So I feel like it's I'm you know, back to the future, back to 2014, 2015. But I think like for me, it's when I look at like the picture right after the Royals won the World Series, and I'm on stage with Richie and Phil, and there's this great picture, and you can tell, you know, I'm in tears, and they're so excited. And 7 years, when you got kids, and you look at the changes and the differences in those kids, man, that's a lifetime. And I look at, you know, I mean, Richie's 25, has his own house, does his own thing. Man, I only get to see, I maybe get to see him once a week, twice a week or so because of our schedules. And I never thought I'd say that. That just, that kills me. But, you know, and Phil, and it does, man. I'm not kidding. And I'm probably getting a little too open here. And you know, we talk every day. And we talk, you know, now I look back and think about my mom, how she used to, why does my mom stay on the phone with my grandmother for an hour? Or my grandpa, why do they talk for an hour? And now whenever, you know, like once a day, I'll talk to Richie on the phone for like 45 minutes. You know, or I'll talk to him all the way home driving from work, and we'll spend like an hour on the phone, and I'm like my mom all over again. I say, oh, that's why. Or I see Phil, you know, he's little Phil Wood, wearing the wristbands. And now it's, you know, weightlifter Phil in business school, working at the National, who will lift weights, eat, and go to school and play video games, and that's pretty much it. Owen work. But he's just, you know, he's a freaking man now. And so when you look at it, when you have kids and you see how much they've grown and how they've changed, that's what makes it feel like such a long time ago for me. Like, what changes are there really for me between 2015 and now? You know, a few more gray hairs in my beard. I don't know if you have any of those, Nate. But
couple.
You know, and like I said, maybe I don't feel as great getting up in the morning. But, you know, when you think about how old your kids were when that happened, I know there's a lot of people out there listening that had that same thing. Like if you had kids that were 5 or 6 years old, now all of a sudden you look at them and they're, you know, they're getting ready to finish middle school, going to high school. That's when it seems like forever. But no one can take those memories away. That's why it's so special. That's why it's awesome. That's why Kansas City's awesome. And we all remember where we were, who we were with, and how wonderful all those moments made us feel. And we tapped back into that last night, just for a moment, just when Hosmer was there, when he gave that hug to Salvi, when we watched that video. And so, yeah, I did not expect it to make me feel that way, but it felt good watching that last night. So there's your emotional start to your Friday, Kansas City.
Yeah.
The too sappy, you think?
No, man, it's real.
Yeah.
That's what it is, real.
Mm.
My is little Marco Andy crying? Wasn't even alive.
Wow. That's true. He wasn't, you know.
So life has changed a lot for us.
Then we wonder, will he ever see a championship? Mm. We don't know that.
I didn't think any of us would. Honestly, I had kind of resigned myself to the fact that that just doesn't happen in towns like Kansas City in baseball because of the way the sport is set up.
Well, we had already seen one.
Tough years too.
Yeah, but I felt like my kids would never see one. I felt like you know it was something that New York and Boston got to do. Maybe someday we might make the playoffs or something, but you know we would never. I didn't think we'd ever see the Royals win a World Series again. Just because of the way baseball's set up economically. And they did.
Well, they beat those damn Red Sox last night. And that was good stuff. And so welcome back to Eric Hosmer. And good game from the Kansas City Royals. Chris Bubich had a good performance. And I love seeing Michael Massey and Nate Eaton in the lineup. And I hope it stays that way. You know, continue. I know Nick Prado wasn't in the lineup last night. But continue to give the playing time to Nate Eaton and Michael Massey and Vinny Pasquantino and Nick Prado, you know, Bobby Witt Jr., MJ Melendez. Those are the guys that I want to continue to see in the lineup. You know, Ryan O'Hearn doesn't need at bats. I'm going to hurt my feelings if Hunter Dozier loses some at bats. You know, let's go. Let's find out what we got, especially. I think we have a pretty good idea now what we have with Witt and Melendez. Got to keep Vinny Pasquantino. Got to keep Michael Massey. Got to keep Nate Eaton now that he's up. Keep those guys in the lineup and find out what we've got for 2023, baby. We'll take a break back after this on WHB. Spagnuolo spoke at training camp yesterday, along with Andrew Wiley and Carlos Dunlap and Sky Moore. Let me play a clip of Steve Spagnuolo talking about his new pass rusher, Carlos Dunlap.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's done it for a long time, and the system he was in Cincinnati all those years was kind of conducive to him. Mike Zimmer had him for a long time, and what they were doing, it was a four-down system, call it what you want. I mean, we're multiple now, so we're in a couple of different things, but I think he functions well outside. We talked to him about playing inside. We'll see where that goes. I'm not really sure. I want to get him comfortable at one spot first. But again, I go back to the length, and he knows how to get to the quarterback. I mean, sometimes that's just innate. I always say 70% of pass rushers want to.
So that was Spags finally able to talk about Carlos Dunlap. And then Carlos Dunlap walked into the tent, and he is quite a physical specimen. And he went to the podium, and I started asking him questions.
What were some of the main factors that led to your decision to sign with the Chiefs?
What were some of the main factors of... great opportunity with a great organization. What they've done the last few years, playing against them on the other side of the ball, I wanted to add what I, you know, my specialties to it, and we felt like we had mutual interests.
Was it a difficult decision? Did you have several other teams that you had to decide from?
Yes, there were a couple other teams, and then obviously, you know, these last week or so, ever since camp started, things heated up. But I liked what I heard from the Chiefs. That's why I came out here to meet with them in person, to see how I fit, see how they would use me, see how I would contribute, see if it was a fit, and I'm here.
Did any specific players recruit you at all?
No.
Because he worked out at the same facility as Orlando Brown Jr. And so I wanted to see if there was any, hey, you know, Patrick Mahomes called me and that was it. Or but if that did happen, he was not willing to tell us that, Nate.
Nope. Not super revealing there, huh?
No, not with that. But no, he was great to listen to in the tent. I think fans are really going to enjoy listening to Carlos Dunlap over the course of the season, especially if he's productive as a pass rusher, and there's no reason to believe he won't be, considering the last 10 years he's had at least 6 sacks in each of those years. Something else I liked about him is, you know, sometimes players will act like they're not aware of their stats, or they don't know if they're chasing a certain milestone, or they don't want to talk about it. I don't worry about that. You know, I'm just here, you know, just for the wins or whatever. Carlos was very aware and let us know a couple of times that he has 96 sacks and he'd like to get 100 sacks and where they would put him all time. And so it was just funny because he was some players act like they don't care or that's not a factor. Carlos wants 100 sacks, by the way, Nate. And he told you a couple of times he came up. Yeah, you know, I've got 96 sacks. I need 4 more to get, you know. Because I want to go over 100, because if I only get 4, that didn't have a very good season. And so he was talking about that and how bad he wants to win a playoff game. He's never won a playoff game. He had lots to say, so let's play some more. Here, Carlos Dunlap was asked why he waited so long to sign with the team.
Patience, you know. This is my 13th year. I've done it 12 different ways. So I wanted to make sure I made an educated decision and went with a team, you know, where, you know, there was, you know, mutual interest in, you know, my ability to play and how I would be used and the opportunity to win. Because at this point, you know, I've done a lot of football. One of the things I have not done is, you know, I haven't got over 100 sacks, I haven't won a playoff game, and I haven't clearly won a Super Bowl. So those are things that I would like to do at this point in my career, and I'm in hot pursuit, and I feel like this team gives me a great opportunity, the best opportunity to do it. So, you know.
I'd like him to accomplish all of his goals, Nate.
Yeah, 100%. If the Chiefs are going to accomplish those last couple goals, which is win a playoff game and win a Super Bowl, they very likely will need him to accomplish that first goal of reaching 100 sacks. Like, he's got to get 4 sacks plus this year to help the team, I think. You know, I mean, so what do you, I'm hoping for 6 plus out of him in this season.
He was asked about, and we can play this clip here. He was asked about his consistency and how he's been able to get at least 6 sacks every season for the last 10 years.
My routine. So that's one of the big things that I'm trying to establish and figure out here. Today was the first day. So I contributed to my routine, my work ethic, my team that helps with my routine. So I got to find all the people here, delegate those tasks, and just get a routine and a rhythm going.
Then later on, he said, he was answering another question. He goes, yeah, I know someone said 6 sacks a year, but I average 8. And so he's very he goes, so I'm looking at, you know, to at least get my average or more. So he's very aware. I love it. Players know what they do. They know their stats. They know what's going on. We'll play one more before we break and get ready for Stan Weber. I like this one because look at the schedule, and I think you could probably guess what other game he was alluding to. I asked Carlos Dunlap if he's excited about facing Russell Wilson.
You played with Russell Wilson the last couple of years. Are you excited to go up against him since now he's with the Denver Broncos to get you cracks at him this year?
I definitely have looked at the schedule. Russ is my guy. There's no personal vendetta versus him, but he's on the other side, so I have a job to do just as well as he does. But there's a lot of things on that schedule that I liked and played into my decision as well. So looking forward to getting after it.
I'm going to guess that one of the things that he liked and played in his decision was playing at Cincinnati, Nate.
Yeah.
That's an educated guess by me.
I think you're reading between the lines there.
I love that, though. You know? There's a lot of things I like about the schedule that played into my decision. Hell yes. Let me go, because you know that had to be a bitter pill to swallow, that he's there for a decade in Cincinnati, then he gets traded midseason to Seattle, and then the following year the Bengals go to the Super Bowl.
Yeah. That's a tough one, man.
So, and he has not won a playoff game, so I bet you he'd like to have a big game in Cincy on the way to helping this football team get to the Super Bowl. But again, just hearing him say, I want to win a playoff game. And that's a reminder of how lucky we have been watching these Kansas City Chiefs win so many playoff games over the past couple of years. And you got a guy like Carlos Dunlap, who's been one of the better pass rushers of his era, and he has not been able to win a playoff game.
Well, for most of my, I mean, for not for mo, but for a long stretch from, what was it, the Marty Schottenheimer era, you know, the Chiefs hadn't won a playoff game. I mean, that was a big deal when the Chiefs finally got over that hump. Then they won a home playoff game, you know, and the Bengals, it's been a longer run. But yeah, as the great Tom Petty said, you know, it's so painful for something to be so close and still so far out of reach. And for Dunlap, man, suffer through all that in Cincinnati, and then you leave and they go win the Super Bowl. But maybe he'll win one with the Chiefs this year.
Right. It's close now. He's real close to winning a playoff game, let me tell you. He's a big reason why you should feel even better about the Chiefs' chances of having a good season. Because I think that was a great addition to the Kansas City Chiefs pass rush. And after practice, I was watching him and Frank Clark help George Karlaftis. And again, working with him, going through some drills, working on hand placement, working on footwork. He didn't do much yesterday, Dunlap, but he was right over there with Frank Clark and George Karlaftis helping the rookie and going through some different techniques and exchanging some ideas. And how great is that? You've got Frank Clark that's willing to help Karlaftis. We've talked about that after every practice. And then here comes Carlos Dunlap with 96 career sacks. And after the first practice, he's helping George Karlaftis. I mean, you have to love that attitude, right?
Oh, 100%.
And that willingness to help. And that just shows you right there how important of a signing it was, because then now you can dream a little bit about those three: a rejuvenated Frank Clark, a first-round pick in George Karlaftis, and a really good, productive veteran in Carlos Dunlap. That should make you feel much better about this pass rush. We'll take a break. Back after this on WHB. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Stephen St. John live in St. Joseph, Missouri at Stony Creek Hotel and Conference Center. They had practice every day this week, but no practice today. The Chiefs will return to the practice field tomorrow. But we've still got lots of great sound to play for you from yesterday's post-practice interviews. We have more from Steve Spagnuolo. We'll play Andrew Wiley, the Chiefs' newest addition at pass rusher, in Carlos Dunlap. And also Sky Moore was very interesting to listen to, so we're going to play some of that coming up. Nate Bucati back in Kansas City, now joined by Stan Weber. Stan, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing fine. Good morning.
Lots of good stuff out here at training camp. I've had a blast watching practice. It's been very It's been very interesting to watch all these new faces and all these young players. And we talked with Jesse Newell yesterday, and he even commented how impressive, and it's not just him. I mean, I listened to what everyone's saying in the media tent. There's been a lot of national guys up here making their stops in camp, and that's kind of been the theme that and you can only take so much away from training camp and practice, you know that, but boy, has this big class of rookies looked impressive so far in training camp, and I think there's a lot of cautious optimism that the Chiefs had one hell of a draft, Stan.
Yes, I think that is showing up early signs. We didn't think that it was a poor draft at all when it occurred, but it looks like it's arrows pointing up. So that's exciting. It's a stage, though. You know, it's only a small indicator. And that's why, even though they're trying to make preseason games as unwatchable as possible, they have only three, right, instead of four. The players that are really the stars sometimes don't even suit up and take a snap. I don't think that Andy Reid believes in that. I think he thinks they need a few reps. But getting to my point, there's another giant step that I'm waiting for, and we're only a week or so away. A week from tomorrow, Chiefs will be in Chicago playing the Bears. And the thing I need to see, Stephen, and one of the themes of the draft was what? Physicality, tackling, ability to make the play in the game right there and not let a guy gain an extra 3 or 4 yards. And I don't think we can get a lot of that with training camp right now. They're always just stopping and not knocking people down on the ground and not blocking all the way through. So I can't wait for the next stage. Early signs of a lot of things that you're seeing up there is good. There's going to be just so many new defenders and seeing what their effect is going to be. But I can't wait to see them in the physical part of the game, because where the Chiefs have lacked on defense, I believe, is finishing that tackle. They have been there many times. If you go back and watch the tape, the Chiefs were there. Steve Spagnuolo's scheme, very complicated, keeps the offense off balance. You don't know where they're going to come. Dan Sorensen's right there, 2 yards from the line of scrimmage. Tyrann Mathieu last year, 2 yards from the line of scrimmage. Just tackle him, and it's a negative play for the opponent. A 2 yard gain in the NFL, that's not much for the offense. But if you miss that tackle, guy takes two more steps, gets 6 or 7 yards, changes everything. Can the Chiefs physically finish their tackles differently than they have at any time through this Super Bowl type of run that they've had, or the ability to be a Super Bowl favorite? I've not seen them be a great tackling team. Now, Bolton, obviously, he hits people and knocks them backwards, but that was not the way the Chiefs played with any of the players that they had. I mean, Chris Jones is a great player, but do you see him stuffing the run and knocking a running back down at the line of scrimmage very often? I don't remember that in my mind's eye. So I'm really interested, Stephen, in what they drafted for were guys who were physical and wanted to play with contact.
Okay, this is good. So this is a good lead into some. And I know we all love to listen to Steve Spagnuolo in the media tent. He's great when he talks football. So these are some of the topics you just brought up. So we'll just play some different comments from Steve Spagnuolo and have you and Nate react. Since I'm seeing everything up here, you guys have not had a chance to see things. So what Steve Spagnuolo says, this is some good information for you guys and everyone back out there. Very curious about how the defense is progressing. Let's play number 7, Marco. Here, Adam Teicher asked Spags about evaluating players in preseason games as opposed to training camp, and then he talks about what he's looking forward to watching next week.
I think in some ways, because there's a little bit more pressure, right? There's people watching. They know that every other team has got an eyeball on them. And anytime we can put pressure on these guys, in my opinion, it's a good thing. So I value the preseason games.
So with that said, are there guys you're particularly interested in getting a look at it when you guys play?
Yeah, this year, with all the new faces, there's quite a few. Now, I don't know how Coach Reed will want to navigate that. I mean, whatever the head
right.
coach. Yeah, that's up to Andy, really.
Everybody's going to play.
Yeah, and it's just a matter of how much. And
but there's nobody you're particularly eager to get a look at, whether that's a lot of
you're talking about in a game situation. As a general rule, the signal callers, the guys at the Mike linebacker positions and the guy at the safeties positions, because we're going to need that when it's all said and done. So if nobody in particular, but those spots in particular.
Okay, so one of the guys that he wants to take a look at, and according to my sound sheet, This is Marco's favorite player from the draft class, is safety Brian Cook. And here's what Steve Spagnuolo said about one of the Chiefs' second-round picks.
Yeah, a lot. The guy's a good football player, and he picks up things quickly, wants to know everything. Like, he's a sponge. He's a lot like George. He wants to know the whole thing. It looks pretty natural to him right now. Now, we'll see if we get in a real game, but that part I like.
Okay, so then another rookie that has been impressive. He's 6'3". He's get Nate Hotton bothered again. Daron Cherry was on the show, and he was up at practice for Chiefs Alumni Day on Monday and said that this guy reminds him of Albert Lewis. And so Joshua Williams, I asked Spags specifically about the Chiefs' fourth-round pick.
In terms of detail about Josh Williams and what stood out to you about him so far?
I like Dave Merritt and I both like the way he presses at the line of scrimmage. He's really bought into the technique we use. Not everybody, it's not comfortable for everybody, but he has bought into it. He's trying to do things exactly the way we ask him. And if he keeps doing that, I think he'll get better and better.
Stan, how about those group of comments about some of the rookies and also what Spags thinks of preseason? Stan, then Nate, your reaction to what Spags had to say.
Well, Coach Spagnuolo, I think, just says so much and gives you so much information. Always love to hear him, Steven, so thanks for playing some audio back from yesterday. Joshua Williams, if you listen closely, he talked about the attributes that he has that are impressive, but then he said he's willing to listen and use our techniques. Now, let's think about that for a second. What does that mean? Well, he didn't come from Ohio State, where he won every game but two in his whole career, and he dogged the opponent, and every player around him was a superstar, and he had all this great coaching, and it was very easy to think that he had learned a way to play his position. And now in the NFL, they're talking to him, and he's got to decide what I want to relearn, what I want to believe in myself in. It's hard. It's hard to give away, just like a baseball player going up there and learning how to hit. When do you believe in what you've done your whole life, and when do you believe in what they're telling you at the major league level, minor league level? It's hard. At the cornerback position, the same type of thing. There are a lot of skill sets and styles that can be taught. But think of what he just said. Joshua Williams was at Fayetteville State. He probably doesn't have a lot of habits that are fully, you know, Ohio State level. And I'm not trying to cut down their coaches, but they're probably not making $400,000 a year for the cornerbacks coach. So I think what you've got here is a raw piece of clay that you can mold. And I think they love the idea that he comes in and he's all ears and he adapts. Like, say, this is what the technique we want to use. Put your right hand here. We always want a right hand on this shoulder. First thing we want to do, make some contact with that receiver. Whatever the techniques the Chiefs are teaching, doesn't it make sense that he just told you, like, this kid's all in. He believes he's doing exactly what he wants. And that advances him greatly because you don't have to break habits to make new habits. And I think that's what probably helps him out. I may be reading too much into this, but I think when you listen to Coach Spags, boy, he'll tell you a lot of information in a few words.
The only thing I would add to that is if he turns out to be a good player, I think that the position group of defensive back is the greatest illustration of why the consistency throughout the Chiefs organization has been a beneficial thing to them. Because you have to have your scouting department and your coaching staff working in concert. And I feel like that shows itself with the success they've had with players like Chavarius Ward and Legarius Sneed, who were not first-round draft picks, that were not big-name, high-priced free agents like Jalen Ramsey or something like that. They know what they're looking for at that position. And just because one guy's a great defensive back in one scheme, you know, Richard Sherman is a great defensive back in one scheme, but he might not be great in another scheme if he's asked to do different things. He doesn't necessarily have those attributes. This organization, they know what they're looking for.
Sammy Watkins went right by him in the Super Bowl. It looked like he wasn't playing for Seattle anymore.
Right. And these guys know what they're looking for at that position. They know the prototype of a player. They know the physical attributes that they want. Then it's about whether or not they can coach him up. And in these long athletic corners that can get up and press that's what they're looking for, right?
Even if they're raw,
yeah,
they can teach
yeah.
them. But you know, the thing that you pointed out about one of the things that makes the Chiefs so good during this run, this consistency, it's even more complicated because if you try to get two groups on the same page, that's one thing that's really hard, coaches yeah. and scouting. But don't forget the general manager.
Right.
It's even more.
Right.
I mean, you add that on there, just because the coaches and the scouts are on the same page, the GM is usually the one making the call when the draft occurs.
Mm-hmm.
No, great information, everybody, but I think I'm going to go this way. And mm-hmm. Andy's okay with it and trumps out sometimes all the work. They really got not only a coaching staff, they've got the general manager and the scouting staff all on the same page, all looking for the same things, and that kind of consistency has really helped the Chiefs. A good point.
We will take a break. Back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Well, good in terms is a couple different goods, you know, good physically, but you're gonna be able to tell that and what you and I were talking about. The mental part of it, I always test, so you guys don't always see the walkthroughs we do. I call them ACTs, alignment, communication, and technique. I do them fast. Now we got just some managers running around, but I do them fast on purpose because I'm looking at them and seeing how fast they're thinking. To do a walkthrough as a slow deal, I don't get any feedback out of that, so we're always testing them that way too.
That was Steve Spagnuolo talking about how he evaluates when a player is showing progress while learning the defense in training camp. Stan Weber and Nate Bucchetti are in studio with us. Stan, when we get into the 7 o'clock hour, I'm going to play some more comments from Carlos Dunlap, who had his first day in camp yesterday. And at 33 years old, he has been unbelievably consistent, 10 straight years of at least 6 sacks. And I really enjoyed hearing him speak yesterday in the media tent. And, you know, I just think it's a terrific signing for the Chiefs. Looking forward to see what he can do in the practice field. And that's another guy that I think gives the Chiefs hope that they can get the quarterback a little bit more often this year, right?
No doubt about it. And they also have someone who's energized about making that run to the Super Bowl. And it's always good when you can bring in a veteran who says, you guys don't take this for granted. But a veteran that has respect. You know, you mentioned he's a guy who gets about an average of 8 sacks a year over 12 seasons. The average NFL career is 3 years. So he really has established himself, done some things. He's been at a couple of teams. But I think when he walks in the locker room, he's going to demand respect. He's a big, big veteran, athletic, is going to be physical, get to the quarterback. He's well-spoken. I assume that he's going to be a guy who's going to speak up in the locker room and have people listen to him. But the one thing that excites me past his ability at a position I think the Chiefs need a lot of help at, that pass rush, defensive end, outside edge rusher. I'm very happy with the signing, the amount of money, et cetera. But I think there's going to be an added bonus that he's going to speak out and say, you guys just act like winning a division's no big deal. I mean, where's your excitement to be this good and be able to make this run and being reminded throughout the season that it's not your God-given right or it's not just a grind to work through when you get results of winning? Because there's a lot of NFL players who work really hard, spend as much time as everybody else, you know, maybe a little more than Kyler Murray is expected, but there's a lot of people who spend a lot of time and then end up losing on Sunday. And then they got to go back to work and grind again. It's completely different when you walk out the field and you win. And I think he's going to just reignite a little energy. You know, Eric Hosmer came back in town last night. And what did it remind you of, Steven? A lot of things. But Salvador Perez, Hosmer, don't you think of those guys with joy?
Mm-hmm.
Like, isn't winning fun for everybody on the roster?
Yep. Yep.
Not about them. Like, when they walk in and 25, 26 players get a walk in and say, we played hard, we're pros, we're coming back tomorrow to do the same. But it's a little different when you got a smile on your face and you win, when you crack open that beer, which Major League Baseball players usually do. I mean, Hosmer and Salvi just remind me of that. Not only good players, but just that joy factor. And for some reason, I think he's going to add that, because listening to his comments, he's not a guy sitting over the corner without opinions. I mean, he's strong, but he's a veteran. And he'll add a lot. Steven, the physicality, I think Spags, again, says a lot. A lot of this pass rushing and getting to the quarterbacks want to. a knack, a belief, a feel. They can teach them different techniques, or we're playing this defense or bringing this blitz, but at some point you just got to have it in you that you can figure out a way to win that one-on-one battle and get to the quarterback, and Dunlap's been able to do that throughout his career.
Back after this on WHB.